Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted USS Hornet. Take the drive past Oakland or up to Bay Farm Island in California, and you'll find yourself on Elmita Island. The island is home to several decommissioned U.S. war vessels from a bygone era, many of which now spend their days basking away in the hot California sun, slowly rising and falling in a sea of salt water. Not exactly the perfect environment for preservation. Nonetheless, the haunted USS Hornet resides in these waters, as does a live crew that works tirelessly to tell the story of an American legend and the crew who sailed her. That same crew, who to this day, although deceased, may still be on board the haunted ship if the stories are real. The story of the USS Hornet does not begin with ghosts. It had a long, rich history at sea, playing pivotal roles in many battles and in the U.S. Air and Space Program. It's now home to a museum that recounts its impressive history. Although she was attacked 59 times, the USS Hornet was never severely damaged. What an amazing feat for such a vessel. The ship itself is responsible for destroying more than 1,400 Japanese aircraft in World War II. While her crew remained relatively unscathed, she indeed was surrounded by death and destruction. Her thousands of crew members witnessed the best and worst humanity has to offer. She sits in the dock as a relic of a time gone by. Salt water slowly eats the paint off her hull as visitors walk through her halls trying to get a feel for what life was once like on board. Many of her visitors have been lucky enough to get more than just a story or a picture. Several walk away having witnessed the spirit of one of the many brave men and women who once walked her deck, yet no longer walk the earth.
The actual history goes back to 1775. The first ship to be named the Hornet was the first ship that we acquired back in 1775 when our Continental Congress declared the Continental Navy duly formed at the Independence Hall in Philadelphia, 13th of October, 1775, and the first two ships called the Hornet and the Wasp. And since 1775, there's been eight ships to be named Hornet. The second one was in 1802, third was 1805, 1814, 1865, 1898 was our sixth ship to be named Hornet. Our seventh ship was the first aircraft carrier to bear that name, and she was the USS Hornet CV-8. She was commissioned on the 20th of October in 1941. She was a Yorktown-class aircraft carrier. And 6 weeks after she was commissioned, we were attacked by the Japanese, Pearl Harbor, December 7th. 6 days after that, a guy named Adolf Hitler declared war upon the United States on the 13th of December in 1941. So we were actually fighting two wars on two fronts. The CV-8 then, she was doing her sea trials, and there was an admiral, I don't remember his name, but he was walking on the tarmac in, on a naval air base in Florida and was pondering the fact that we'd just been attacked by the Japanese, and morale was kind of down. We were kind of stretched a little thin. Things are not going well for America and the world. Germany and Japan were being very aggressive, and it was not a good time on this planet. And sadly, that was kind of how the world was evolving to that point. A lot of battles, a lot of war, a lot of conflict, a lot of frustration, anger, hatred. What a cauldron of cest almost. But here we are in World War II. This admiral spotted aircraft that were B-25 bombers on the tarmac, and he had a thought. I wonder if these things could be launched off of an aircraft carrier. So he made a phone call. The Hornet was brought in from her sea trials, and two of those three B-25 bombers were placed on her flight deck, and she was sent back out into the Gulf of Mexico. She went into the wind, and those planes were able to launch because of their stature, the long wings, heavy big engines. And so that was the hatching of the plan to send a retaliatory strike against the Japanese by attacking them on their homelands with 16 B-25 bombers launched off of the CV-8 Hornet. And that happened on the 17th of April in 1942. We launched all 16 planes, successfully launched. They flew at wave height altitude. When they got to the shore of Japan, they climbed to their bombing altitude. All 16 planes took out their targets, and then they headed to China. The plan was to get as deep into China when they ran out of fuel to bail. At that point, we were allies with the Chinese, and so all the surviving crew members out of all 16 planes, all 16 of them successfully launched. Out of a total of 80 crew members, 69 of them survived, which was huge. All the survivors that landed in China had a rendezvous point that they were to trek themselves to that point. As they landed and headed towards their rendezvous point, every village that they came to, the villagers and the Chinese soldiers would escort them. They fed them, and they followed them all the way to their trek. We had a couple of the survivors aboard the ship several years ago, and they told of their story of that event. And one of them said that he could also see another crew member from a different plane, often from a different direction, but heading down to the same rendezvous point that he was headed towards. And behind him, he could see all these Chinese villagers and soldiers behind them escorting the crew members. A very heart-touching story. So that was the Doolittle Raid, and that was the CV-8 Hornet. Then she was in the next battle, was the Battle of Midway in June of 1942. And we actually sank four aircraft carriers to the loss of one of ours, and that was Yorktown. Then the CV-8 was in the Battle of Solomon Islands in September, and then Santa Cruz Islands on October 25th and 26th, 1940. She was hit by two kamikazes, three torpedoes, and two bombs, and she eventually sank, and that was the death of the CV-8 Hornet. The CV-12 at that time was being built, and America was in very, very serious straits at that point. We had one aircraft carrier left in the Pacific. We were the guys that were building these planes and the bombs and the bullets and the tanks and the jeeps and the medicine and the rockets and torpedoes and everything. These guys were the guys that were fighting the wars. So they weren't getting all those supplies, and so we weren't. They were dying in the field. They didn't have the equipment that they needed because no one was building that. America had a secret weapon. My favorite part of the story: America's women sitting on their sofas, watching their black and white TVs, eating their bonbons while the wars were going on. But they knew something was wrong, and their husbands and boyfriends weren't coming back, and they had to do something. So they showed up by the thousands at these empty factories, and they built actually this Hornet, the CV-12, in 13 months. They built 24 of that class of aircraft carrier. These things weigh 41,500 tons of steel and machinery. And they built 24 of these things in 3 years during World War II. Our great-great-grandmas and our great-great-grand-aunts and their sisters, daughters, neighbors, mothers, daughters, and sisters saved our planet, saved our country. Her keel was laid on the 3rd of August in 1942. At that time, we had one aircraft carrier left in the Pacific, and then the CB-8 was sunk in October 1942. So in January of 1943, the President of the United States got on the phone with the Secretary of Navy, Frank Knotts, and asked Frank to get him another Hornet. He said then he'll see what he could do. The next day, the sign in front of this ship, the CB-12, which was the Kearsarge, was painted white, and USS Hornet was painted over it. She became the Hornet, and then on the record books for the U.S. Navy on the 23rd of January, 1943, she became the Hornet. She then was launched on the 30th of August, took less than 13 months to build the CV-12. She was launched on the 30th of August, 1943. She then set her first Navy record by having the shortest maiden voyage of any ship in Navy history. She was then commissioned on the 29th of November, 1943. When she was commissioned, she was blessed by a priest, rabbi, and a minister. When the minister blessed the ship, he blessed her to God. Four ships normally weren't blessed to God, but this one was. After that blessing, she went to sea for 18 months without porting. 15 of the 18 months, she was in 59 major battles. She shot down more planes and sank more ships than any ship in Navy history, and suffered zero damage caused by enemy fire in those 59 battles. She shot down over 668 planes shot down out of the sky. That was a Navy record. 742 was destroyed on the ground, a Navy record. A total of 1,410 planes were destroyed by her crew and the planes, and that was a Navy record. She had 10 pilots make ace in one day. That was during the Mariner's turkey shoot, and that was that day. To make ace, you have to shoot down 5 enemy planes in your career. 10 pilots did it in one day. That day they shot down 67 planes in one day. Those are both Navy records. 255 were shot down in a month, a Navy record. Out of original squadron, 2 of 40 pilots, 28 of them aced in their career, a Navy record. She sank 73 ships, probably 37 more, and damaged over 413, a Navy record. And all those battles and all that carnage and all those records, she suffered no damage caused by any fire. No bombs hit her, no kamikazes. Allegedly, one torpedo hit the Hornet and it bounced off. Did not detonate, did not damage her hull. And out of those 24 ships that were built by the women of America, not one of them sunk during World War II.
What was life like on board the ship in active duty wartime? What was it like with the crew members living on board for such long periods of time?
Well, during the war, sadly to say, she had one of the highest suicide rates. Problem with the war, problem with life back then was mail. That was your only connection with the home. And so these 18 to 24-year-old sailors and soldiers, because we had Marines on the aboard ships, it was a pretty tough time, especially out to sea for 18 months. You get letters that are usually 3 to 6 weeks old, if that. And John Deere letters were pretty common. Dear John, John Deere. So we had a lot of suicides. So a lot of the spirits we feel on the ship are some of those sailors that didn't make it off the ship. Life in a wartime, you try to make the best of it. You're in the middle of the ocean. There is nothing around you but sea, and it's pretty desolate. You're surrounded by other ships, but it's life during World War II was a scary time. War is not we human beings really weren't put on this. I don't believe that we were put on this planet to fight each other. We just never got the right formula to how to get along with each other. That's my heart, the human being. Over 100 million people perished.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.